Welcome to the Building Your Dream Career podcast with 3Skills co-founders, Toby, Josh, Marianne, and Anissa. All right, welcome to the final episode of season one of Building Your Dream Career with 3Skills. I'm here with my co-founder, Marianne, and today we're pretty much just going to be reminiscing over the last 3 years of running 3Skills. Our 3 year anniversary is on June 1st officially, right?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that was the date. So we're going to talk about lessons learned, the journey, where we are today, and maybe a little bit about what's coming up, so that people can know what the future is going to look like for 3Skills too. But again, I'm Toby, one of the co-founders of 3Skills. I hope that we've met. If we haven't met, this is your opportunity to get to know me. And I'm here with, like I said, Marianne. Marianne, you want to say hi to the people?
Hello. Excited to go down memory lane.
Yes, memory lane. Memory lane, I think, for us starts way before 3Skills, which is probably like my favorite part. Is this whole story really started in like September 2011,
when we first met,
going to Carleton University, both as international students. And I just remember Marianne would, I don't even remember how we actually, I think I just sat beside you because I thought you were smart.
And I think we were also in like five, like all of our classes were the same for that court, that semester. Yeah.
Because we were pretty much taking the exact same program. Mm-hmm. We started at the exact same time. So yeah, I think after a while we're like, wait, I see you like five times a week. You know, we should probably become friends. But I remember like Marianne used to come to class like it was a fashion show.
And so, okay,
you know, this girl's definitely smart. I should probably cheat off her. But I never did that. But that was pretty much how it started. So I guess a good question to ask is, what was your first impression of Toby, the co-founder, when you first met him back in 2011?
He was definitely not Toby, the co-founder, when I met him. Honestly, I feel like it was always just fun. Like we always, it was very easy to chat with each other. We had a lot of fun in our French classes, I remember.
100%.
Those were very fun. I think the first impression was like, yeah, this guy's really fun. And yeah. I always see him around.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I completely agree with that. That's what I say in the mirror.
Oh, goodness. Here's the type 7 coming through.
No, it was, I think for me, it was more like, hey, this girl is very smart, like, and also dresses well and takes class very seriously. I was like, this is the kind of friend my mom would want me to have, you know, like, you know, when they, like, you're leaving home, they're like, don't make any bad friends, only make
stay with the good kids.
Stay with the good kids. I'm like, yeah, this says good kid, has good kid written all over the highlighted notes. I'm 100% sure.
Color-coded notes.
Color-coded.
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, that was, I guess, the beginning. And it was pretty funny because me and Josh were also roommates that year at Carleton. So we probably crossed paths, like all three of us. But, you know, little did we know that, you know, 8 years later, we'd be starting a company. But I guess we can go back to the origin of 3Skills, like that day, the very day where, you know, we just like the idea popped up. Okay. Cause like, you were right there.
Yeah.
So what do you remember about that day? This is a test.
So I remember two things. So I remember, I don't think we've ever talked about this, but I remember seeing your Instagram story that you wanted to help five people.
Yes.
That was the first thing I saw. And then the next day, you were talking in the office and you were like just getting opinions about, would you pay for someone to help you get a job? That was a question. Mm-hmm. But what you remember, I think think is that you asked that same question to different people over two different days.
Okay.
So the first day that you said it, I was already like, yeah, of course I would, because obviously
very true.
I didn't get into HR right away.
Right.
And I went home that day and told Talal, my partner, I was like, I think Toby's going to start something and I don't know what it is, but I'm really interested. So I had already talked to him. He's like, oh, really? And I'm like, yeah. So the next day you asked again. And you were getting like, no, I would never pay. I would never pay. Yeah. Why would you do that? You would just go to the YMCA and get a free course or whatever. And I was like, no, these people don't get it because they haven't struggled like we have. Yeah. Like they haven't had the same challenges. And that's when I just turned around. And I think I was just like, whatever it is, like, I'm in.
Yeah, like, that's exactly what you said, actually.
I don't know what you're building, but I'm in. That's it.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome, because I actually remember your chair swiveling and like me meeting you and going like, she's about to say something. And that was what you said. But those were like, I mean, that was like day two of it. Like day one was I had gone to lunch with my friend Lisa. Lisa, if you're listening, shout out. She had talked about how she was paying a company like $2,500 to help her with like her resume and all this other stuff. I still
can't like digest that number.
I was like, what? Like people pay for that kind of help? Like I knew people paid, but I didn't know they paid that much.
And then, but I also remember that it wasn't good.
Yeah, I remember that it wasn't amazing. Like she still hadn't gotten the results she needed, and she had already paid that, right? Mm-hmm. And so coming back from the office at like 12:50, like during lunch, that was day one where I started asking people like, would you pay for like a resume service? And then like, I got like two yeses and like two no's or something. And it was kind of like, I bet we're onto something. And so I called Josh that afternoon and I said, Josh, a lot of students like us need help when they graduate in terms of like getting jobs. We should help them, especially the international students. And Josh was like, yeah, I'm in. And then the next day was when I kept asking, and then you became my second co-founder. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know what we were founding, but we knew it was going to be exciting as hell. And so then I made the post on the Instagram, or maybe the post was the day before, I forget. And I remember from that Instagram post, I got 50 messages, mm-hmm, of people saying like, I'd be interested in getting help getting a job. And I was like, we are definitely onto something. And mm-hmm, so I remember I put all the names of the people in a Excel sheet with their numbers. Okay. And then I started calling them and saying, hey, I'm going to run a course. It's going to be $500. Are you in? And they're like, who the hell is this? Like, why are you? They're like, why are you calling me?
They're like, unsubscribe.
Yeah, unsubscribe. It was just so like jarring to me, because I'm like, you signed up. But then I learned two very important lessons there. We had no credibility. It's just like an Instagram post. It was one of those like, turn 500 to 5,000 with Bitcoin. It was just an Instagram post. And then the second thing was like, there was no trust. There was no way they were going to pay us because they didn't trust us yet. So I think that's when like we started talking more, mm-hmm, and we kind of like started to like officially become something that weekend or sometime that week. And I came up with the first name, which was going to be our original name. And I need to hear from the listeners if you think this name could have made it.
But you know what's funnier? It's just how you said it. It's like you are so confident. You're like, said the name, I'm going to drop the mic.
Yeah. And then someone told me to pick it back up, because the name was Dream Starter. I don't even know why that, because all I was thinking was we're gonna like get people started on their dream jobs, and yeah, like the whole team just laughed at me. It was pretty funny, disappointing because I had built it up in my head.
Yeah,
but pretty funny.
Built the hype up.
Built the hype up. But the other thing I remember was that from that Instagram post, one of the people that responded was Anissa, who became our fourth co-founder, right? And so by the time we were starting to think of, okay, how do we actually make, like, what do we teach? First of all, what are we doing? You know, like, we understood who it was for, right? Like international students. But we were like, you know, like in the beginning days, I was like, should this be a nonprofit? Because we've already paid hundreds of thousands of dollars sometimes as international students. But I was like, if you don't make money, then you can't make it better. It's like, okay, we have to make it a for-profit. And then it became like, okay, how do we launch? Like, how do we get people anywhere? And that's when the idea of, hey, we should do something free.
Yeah, that boot camp, that very first boot camp.
Yeah, so we were like, we should do a free resume, like boot camp. And we me and Marianne worked at the same office, and we had like a big hall that you could rent for like, what was it like? It was like $50 or something. It was 100. I don't know what it was.
I think it was 80.
$80. Yeah. And it was this massive hall. So we did that. And then we started Googling top five skills employers look for. That was like, because we were like, we should teach something, but we don't know what to teach. So I was like, okay, top five skills employers look for. And I remember there's two articles, one from LinkedIn, one from CNBC. And the top five skills were collaboration, time management, adaptability, creativity, and persuasion. And I remember going like, collaboration.
Did anyone ever teach you this?
Yeah, I was like, who teaches us persuasion? I never took that course, you know, like, and creativity, like I thought that was for creatives, you know. And that was when I was like, we should teach those three skills. And then I was like, oh my God.
Eureka.
Dream Starter was only the beginning. And I Googled threeskills.com and it was taken. And then I was like, we should teach the three skills. And then we searched thethreeskills.com and it wasn't taken. And that was pretty much how we stumbled on our name, I think.
And also what to teach.
And also what to teach. We're like, we should teach how to be creative and adaptable and persuasive in your job hunt, not just the resume and LinkedIn and everything else that's out there. And I remember I had an app on my phone called like Over, and I literally made the logo immediately. I put a circle. No, I made like four or five logos and I sent it to people. And I was like, which one? And it was like a circle with a three and an S. And then there was just the three and an S, and then the three and a dash and an S, and then a circle with a three and a dash and an S. And I sent like different ones that I'd made in like 3, 4, 5 minutes. And then we just picked the logo, put it onto a Eventbrite, said free resume workshop, found a free picture of that one guy that we used for like a year on like unsplash.com or pexels.com.
Yeah.
Put it on like a poster that I made on my phone, and we just like, let's see if people show up.
let's try this.
Yep. And that was the beginning of Three Skills. It was scrappy. It was unintentional, I would say. But it had this joint mission of, you know what, we want to help people get jobs.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think there was a lot of heart and soul because we knew the sacrifices that families make.
Yeah.
To send their children here, right? Like, we always wanted to give back. And I feel like this was the first time that we could do something to give back to international students.
That's true. And I think that was something you, me, and Josh had in common, was like, we had all come here as international students, gone through the same 4 or 5 years at Carleton, seen our parents sacrifice everything. And we knew that like, we wanted to help people just get to where we were faster, way faster, and with less struggle, if possible. And that was the beginning.
And we would always say, let's teach what we wish we knew when we graduated.
Yes.
That's what it was.
Yes, yeah. That was exactly it. Let's teach what we wish we knew. And I remember part of, because when you're starting any business, you need to establish credibility, right? Like the first question is, why on earth should anyone listen to you when you're starting a business, right? And for us, it was, okay, why should people listen to us? We have like pretty okay jobs, right? And then we started to like really think about it, and we realized like between the four of us, we had landed like 50 interviews or something. But what was like the funniest thing was one of us, Josh, had landed like 30 of those. And that was what we put on like the slides and everything and like the socials. It was like, we've landed 50 interviews across the four of us. And people were like, whoa, 50 interviews. These international students and these immigrants have done that. And that was the immediate credibility. And then I guess to establish trust, because those are two separate things. Like people are credible, but it doesn't mean you want to pay them, right? Yeah. And so to establish trust, we did the free workshop. And I remember distinctly that like 50 or so people signed up, but because we did it in person and some people were in like Montreal and Toronto or like working that day and it was a Saturday, only 30 showed up.
Yeah.
Right. And we were like, oh my God, 30 people.
We were so excited.
We were so pumped. We had like music going.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
I don't know. I feel like we were like, this can either go really well,
yep,
or it's five people who show up.
Yep. That was
and five people that we knew, you know? So when there's people that you don't know that show up, you're like, wow, this is needed.
Yeah.
This is so good.
It was shocking to us. We were like, wow, like we're actually doing something. We're all in like our mini like suits and skirt suits and, you know, like everyone was like super dressed like a presentation. And people came and I remember we broke everyone into like groups, you know, like, are you trying to go into HR? Are you trying to go into sales or like marketing? And we just helped everyone with their resume for free for like, I don't know, it was a couple hours, I think. Yeah. Yeah. And we just kind of went through everyone's resume, helped them out. And then at the end, it was time. It was time to see if this was going to be a nonprofit or for-profit business. So I remember I got on stage and I gave this like Obama-like speech.
Yeah.
If you look into your future, what do you see? No, it wasn't like that.
But no, it's one person helps. Remember? It was a poem of some sort.
Oh yeah, it was one can help. No, I don't remember.
I do remember
it was some sort of poem around like one helping one, but then like two helping thousands or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I just kind of freestyled it. I didn't necessarily have a speech. And then I started to go against like any objections they would have. It's too much money. It's not the right time. I can do it myself. And then we just created like a Google form like 5 minutes before. And we said, if you want to sign up for our first ever boot camp, once I get back from my honeymoon, because I was getting married the next week. If you're going to sign up for our first boot camp in August, fill out the form. And it's going to be $250. And we'll teach you how to make a resume, interview, networking,
LinkedIn,
salary negotiation. It was like so many things. And 20 of the 30 people walked to the computer, filled out the form, and by the end of that week had paid.
Yeah, it was insane. Just the conversion rate, first of all, was crazy. But now we were like, okay, what do we do? Like, we have paying customers and we don't have a single slide on that course.
Yeah. I think that was even funnier because even when they had filled out the Google form, we didn't even have a way to collect payments yet.
Yeah.
And so we had to like, I think we set up like a Square or something like that. And then we started like invoicing people and people started seeing the money come in. We made $5,000 and we were like, oh my God, like this is actually happening. And then I went and got married and it was AWOL for like 3 weeks. And then we came back. I was like, okay guys, what are we going to teach?
Yeah.
And that was where it became more like creative on our end of, okay, let's start from the beginning. And I think we started with like an Enneagram test like figuring out personalities, which we still do till today.
I think it's so important. And I've never, like, no one had ever mentioned it before.
True.
You know, it's not like, and which is so funny because you're choosing a career. Like, the first thing that I think anyone should do is getting to know themselves so that then the career can fit who you are and not the other way around.
Exactly. And I think we just never had seen that, which made it easier for us to do because we were like, this is going to be unique. Like, nobody else is doing this. And so we started with the Enneagram, and then we went into some of the more practical stuff like resumes. And I remember at the end of it all, we had built this very ugly. I just remember it being very ugly because all we did was like Google brand colors, and we just like pink, yellow, and blue.
Yeah.
Which is like, I mean, I don't know how we came up with this stuff, but we then made it into this curvy thing on a slide. And then it was 100 slides. That's all I remember. It was 100 slides. We had all taken a section, built it out, and we essentially turned that. We said, okay, there's a boot camp that's going to happen on, it was like sometime in August. And the 20 people showed up. Mm-hmm. And it was a 6-hour in-person boot camp.
Yeah, we offered coffee and pizza, guys.
Coffee and pizza. Gabriel's, not pizza. Sorry, pizza. Imagine they want to sponsor us just here this episode.
just lost that sponsorship.
Yeah. And that was our first ever boot camp. And then the most important thing we did after that was we collected feedback. We collected all the feedback from all the students, what went well, because we did mock interviews, we did resumes, we did all that stuff. But I just remember people like taking notes, like extensive notes. People were like so, so into it. And I think a week after that was when we got the first text message. Do you remember?
Of course. Like, that made it real.
Yes.
You know, like, I feel like sometimes for me, I never envisioned myself as an entrepreneur. Yeah. Like, I always thought that being an entrepreneur meant like having four walls and owning a physical business. So that was the moment that it's like, wow, of course, a service can be entrepreneurship as well.
Exactly.
And that first text message from Ken, our star student, was just, I don't know. I feel like we celebrated as if like that was me getting an interview.
Yeah.
You know, we took it very personal and we were so excited.
Yeah, it just became surreal. Ken had landed 8 interviews. 6 had come from LinkedIn because we did like a LinkedIn optimization session. And he landed a job at a company called Freesia. And that was the beginning. And I think that was the point where, you know, we just said, okay, as long as one person gets a job every month, we'll keep going. Because we didn't really know how we were going to make enough money to turn it into a company.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't get into it for the money anyway. We just needed the money to make it better and sustainable and to not have to beg for money, right? And to get people to like have some skin in the game and be investing in themselves. But that just was the beginning of, you know, people kept getting jobs, right? Like our first year, I remember that like 30 or 35 people got jobs, and we were celebrating every single one of them like a home run. Like, it was, because it's life-changing. Like, there's nothing that impacts your life and well-being as much as a job. Right, like,
and I think even more for, like, I don't want to say more, but I think it's different for an international student.
Yes,
you know, when a lot of these like recent grads who were taking our course were, I have X amount of time before like I need to go home, you know, like the clock is ticking, my parents are like asking questions, my parents want me to go home, my parents are asking about a job, you know, like, so knowing that this job meant that they could get a permanent residency and like they can stay, like, I feel like that was just what gave it more meaning to us, because it's like, wow, this person can now like not just get a job but like have a life in Canada and like have status. And that's, I think that's just what it was for us. It was never about it was never about the money. It was never about anything. It was just more people want to stay in this country. It's a good country, you know, like yeah. people want to be able to start some roots and know that they can stay here and they can have a job and they can yeah. build a career.
Yeah, I think we were always in the business of life change, right? Like it just came in the form of three skills, but mm-hmm. hearing people go like, yeah, like, you know, I got my PR, I can stay.
We're probably going to say the same thing, but remember the person who was like, this is the first time that I can buy presents for Christmas. Yep.
That was the exact one I was thinking of, because that one, that one has stuck with us till today. The fact that we thought about it at the exact same time means mm-hmm. like, I remember that text message going like, whoa, like that is insane impact. And yeah, we were just always in the business of life change. And I think we were also very humble to know like, okay, this isn't perfect. We mm-hmm. have to keep making it better and taking the feedback and making it better. And there were some frustrating times, you know, like it wasn't all sunshine the first year. Cause I remember we never had more than 20 people again. Right. Yeah. Like after our first one, cause we didn't know how to market it. Like we had like 3 people, sometimes 5-6 people. And it was really frustrating cause we're doing 6 hours with like 3 people. And we wanted to be able to do 6 hours with 20, but we didn't know where to get more people or any of that stuff. So every year we'd make like a, you know, we'd try to like have conversations and see like what we could try. So I remember in 2020, we decided to make it an online course, or in 2019, at the end of 2019, we made it an online course. And then
perfect timing.
And the pandemic hit and we were online and people around like Toronto were starting to like trickle in. But it was just a course you could just find and do on your own. But we realized like people weren't finishing the course. They weren't mm-hmm. giving feedback. They weren't engaged. And then I spoke with my friend and coach Victory. And she was like, yeah, I do like a cohort. So people start at the same time, finish at the same time, take the course at the same time. And I think we were like using Teachable back then. And so we did a cohort and people showed up. And it was, I think we had like maybe 5 or 10 people all at once. Mm-hmm. And I started posting on LinkedIn and then we got 10 people and then we got 20 people and then we got 20 people. And I think our biggest cohort that year was 30 people. And we were like, what is happening? Cause I think we had only made $11,000 our whole first year. And then this year doing the cohorts, we started to see way more people. And in that second year, we helped over 100 people land jobs. And that was wild for us because our first goal was 5 people.
Yeah.
You know, so that was, again, like the second phase of three skills, I would say, was actually starting to make it into something tangible and scalable.
And it's so true what they say about the first year being the hardest, yes. right? Because I feel like we would go through like these peaks and valleys of like, yeah. oh my goodness, like we have 20 people and then we would have like 3.
Yeah.
And we were also like trying Facebook ads. So that's like money that you're spending. And like, we were like, it's so much experimentation at first, right? Yeah. That you're just like learning so much, but it can also be frustrating because I feel like you thought you were retiring the next year. Like, yeah.
I was ready to be a millionaire. I was like, this is going to be awesome after that first one. 66% conversion. It's like, but we always, yeah, I think a lot of things start based off excitement and you'll get that initial buy-in, but then we have to figure out a way to sustain it. And luckily what we saw was like my posts on LinkedIn were driving traffic to our website and people were signing up, right? So then we started to systemize it. We were like, oh, if we do a free webinar, maybe more people show up and then we can convert some of them to paid. And that's what we did. And we still do that till today, right? We give 90% of the value we know for free. And there's these 10% of people that believe they need the help and the coaching that sign up for our program. And we've been asked like, why is it free? You know, but it's like, what's the catch? But it's like, not everyone needs our program. Not everyone needs to pay for our services. We believe that the people that need it the most are the people that we end up coaching. And they get a lot out of it. They get so much out of it. We have an 80-90% success rate for a reason, right? Because there's such a good match with the kind of people that sign up and with us screening them and all that. But that second year was really important for us to know, like, hey, we can make this not just profitable, but scalable, right? But then we realized at the end of the second year, like, we're still not really making money. We're like, yeah, this is not able to be a company. And I remember in November, I called Victory and I was trying to get her to hire someone. And then she pitched me on her coaching business. I was like,
what? You're good.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not trying to get a, yeah. But I was also like, that's actually a really good idea. So I called, I remember I texted Marianne and I was like, hey, we need to pay $4,000 for this 5-hour session. And she was like, no.
Come again?
Yeah. I was like, well, we need to grow. And this girl, Victory, that I know says she can help us grow. And Marianne was like, but is this like, because it was more than like 10% of what we had in the bank or something.
It was a lot. Really an investment.
So when I pitched that to you, like, what were some of the things you were actually thinking?
I'm like, oh, here we go again. because you had already had your little phase with Danielle Leslie's course.
That's true.
So I was like, okay.
Exposing me. That's actually really funny because I did have that phase where I wanted to take some other course. I mean, I'm a big believer in like making big bets if there's proof. But what I liked about Victory's approach was she was going to sit down with us and walk us through the whole thing.
Yeah.
One-on-one. This is how you price. Because what I remember was at that point, our students had made about $8 million. Mm-hmm. We're making about $8 million in salary. And we were charging $250. And so Victory was like, why do you think you're not making money? I'm like, because we're not getting enough students. She's like, no.
Yeah.
Because your ROI right now is like 250% or something. Or 250x. And she's like, that doesn't make sense. It has to be proportionate. And that's when we realized we were super undervaluing the life change we were, because they were paying 250 once, but making 50-60k forever. Right. And so Victory was like, okay, you have to charge something that makes sense. And then you have to do, you know, a course, do it in a cohort, and essentially take what you've learned, make it better, charge more so that you can add more value. And we were like, okay, so I started calling people again and we decided to hire Raf. That's when we brought Raf on board. And we were like, hey, Raf, like we need to build a new product, but we don't know what to call it or what it should be designed like. But you're really great at, like, he's our creative director. And we just kind of said, hey, I need a new product and it needs to be kind of edgy because we're a little different, but also very understandable. And Raf put us through all these workshops. And then we came up with nothing. We came up with absolutely nothing. But we had like colors and stuff. we did. I just remember like we were like, you know, oh yeah, we could call it like, we were throwing out like random names and all that stuff. And then I remember, Marianne, you said something. Do you remember what you said?
No, I know what ultimately
led
to, but well, what, did I say the full name? Did I name
it? No, you didn't come up with the whole name.
Okay.
You came up with the second half of it.
I said pivot.
Yeah, you did say pivot because we were like transitions,
yeah,
career, and then Randy's like pivot. And I was like, pivot, two syllables, amazing. And then we like hung on to it in our group chat. We're trying to like find what goes. Do we just call it pivot? You know, and
it then was something pivot to or something to pivot. You know, we had like number two.
Yeah. It was like something to. Oh my god, our naming was bad.
Yeah.
And then I was scrolling on LinkedIn one day, and someone had transitioned careers, and they said, "Project Pivot Complete." And I was like, "Guys, Project Pivot." And everyone's like, Project Pivot. And that time I did get to drop the mic and it stayed down.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of Project Pivot in November 2020, which is an exciting time. And so we had this program and now we had to figure out if people were going to pay for it. Again.
Well, we didn't have the program.
Well, sorry. We had this name.
We had a name.
A website.
And
we had
colors. A website
and colors. And we hadn't built the program. And I needed to, because we don't build anything unless we know people are going to pay for it. Which is, you know, for anyone that's listening here, that's an entrepreneur, you know, this is a good principle, right? Figure out if the market is ready for what you want and if they're ready to pay for it.
Test the market.
Test the market. So I started calling people again, going, hey, we have a 6-week program. It's $3,000 and it kicks off in a month. And the first 10 people I called were like, no, we're not paying that. I was like, okay. So I called another 5 people. I was like, hey, we have a program. It's $2,500. We start in a month and it's 6 weeks. And they're like, no, we're not paying that. I was like, okay. So I went back and we changed the project, or we changed the value prop again. It's like 6 weeks. You get a mentor, you get mock interviews and all this stuff. I was like, let's start with 1,500. Let's see if we can get 20 people. And then I just built a script using Victory's guidance. And I remember we started enrolling someone like almost every day. We got to 20 people. And that month we did $30,000 in revenue. And we were like, okay, let's build Project Pivot. And that was, you know, people were on the wait list. We kicked off our first cohort. And cool fact is, every single person from that first cohort has now transitioned careers, which is amazing.
I feel like we were waiting for one person, right? It's so amazing to see.
Yes.
The first one.
Yes.
Complete. First Project one, Pivot complete.
Project Pivot complete. It was January 2021. And so we just did these cohorts, January, I think April, and then we did September, we did November. And again, there were hard times where, you know, we were all busy working. We got new jobs, right? And so, you know, you had a kid. No, you did have a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had a kid.
Got married, had a kid.
Yeah, got married, had a kid. Anissa had a kid. And we were like, okay, you know, things are like not as good quality as they were at the beginning. And so in 2022, we were like, okay, we got to get this right. And we went back to the drawing board. We make the program 10 times better again. And we went for it again, added so much value, mentors, pods, community, all that stuff that we had taken from the feedback. And we turned it into what is today Project Pivot. That, and we also looked at the stats from last year. We realized we had like an 85 or 87% success rate for 2021. And that was when we realized, like, guys, we're actually really good at this, like helping people transition careers. And it was just eye-opening for us to be like, okay. And then I remember we checked, okay, how much did we make last year? Because we weren't making money for the first 2 years. And we realized we had become a six-figure company.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't necessarily tracking it. We were just helping a ton of people. But once we looked at the numbers, we realized, hey, Project Pivot and 3 Skills, now a six-figure business. And then we started to go, okay, what is the next phase look like?
Phase three.
And you know, we started to build that out, right? So let's talk about the future. What is phase three? Like, what are we thinking for phase three, and how are we gonna help even more people build their careers? We've been talking about it. So what's the one or two ideas you're most excited about that we're talking about now?
I'm really excited about continuing to build that community.
Yes.
I'm very excited to involve our alumni students to Project Pivot and have them pay it forward, which I feel like sometimes you have an idea and you feel like it's your idea, you know?
Yeah.
But to hear from the alumni, be like, we want to pay for, like, we want to give back.
Yeah.
Like, we love 3 Skills. That's when you're like, whoa, like, it's not just my baby, you know? Yeah. It's like everyone feels like they are a part of it. And that, I'm so excited to have that, because I feel like even reflecting on a year ago, we were missing that community piece.
Yeah.
And maybe we just were a little scared and like unsure how to like get that missing piece, because a lot of that also does mean like we had to invest in that piece too, right? So I'm really excited about that, because I know people who are part of Project Pivot, and they have to be like the most hardworking, kind, yes, and humble people I've ever had the pleasure of meeting.
Yeah.
So to know that this is who we're going to be like introducing the new cohorts to, I'm super excited about that. And also excited to see us hire more. I feel like a lot of the times, especially when you have your own business, you try to hang on to everything for as long as possible until you hit kind of like a breaking point where it's like, if I don't let go, I don't grow. Right. And I feel like that's where we're at right now, that we need to focus on our crafts and we need to bring in the experts in other areas so that we can continue to scale. Because ultimately what we want is we want everyone who's feeling unfulfilled, everyone who wakes up in the morning and does not want to go to work, we want to help them transition. Yeah. And we know that that's a lot of people. Yeah. And I feel like we just are not sure how to reach everyone. But there's a lot of people who are wanting to make the investment in themselves. They are wanting a change in their career. And by outsourcing this, this is how we're going to be able to do it. I feel like this is how we're going to be able to reach these people and maybe just encourage them to bet on themselves and to bet on us. Like we're still gonna continue learning and improving, and I'm just excited to be able to reach more people because I love what we do. Like I really like, if we could do this forever, I feel like we would have
100%
a very happy life.
It's I think it's just so exciting to, it's always exciting to get the testimonials, always, like, of people going like, I got the job, and seeing their excitement. We're now starting to see some people like buy houses and cars and, you know, help their families. So it's deep, deep fulfillment in the work that we do. And I am excited that, you know, it took us 3 years to figure out community, and now we're really getting a hang of it. And also we do reach a lot of people for free, and, you know, with our like classes and our newsletter and all of that stuff, but it's only a fraction of the people that are actually unhappy with their jobs. Right. So this year I'm excited to get in front of those more people and help them. I think what I'm most excited about, the two things I'm most excited about this year is one, the recruiting. So, you know, we're launching a program called Three Skills Match, and yeah, we're essentially getting into the recruiting space to make it even quicker, right? So we have all these relationships with you talented people, right? You know, from the podcast, from our newsletters, from our community, from our socials. And we also have a lot of companies that are, you know, reaching out to us, that we're connected to, that we know people in, that are looking for good talent. And because we've gotten so good at spotting good talent and people that have a ton of potential and maybe don't have the shot yet, we're going to be matching those people with these companies. And that's going to be a magical, magical relationship. We've already tested it a couple times, just putting people directly into one company alone and getting the feedback from the company going like, this person is outperforming everyone else, right? And we've seen it happen a couple times. And now we're starting to go, okay, we should do this for more companies, because it's going to be a win for the participants of Project Pivot and our community. But it's also going to be a massive win for the company to get someone that with the drive and the work ethic and the smarts to make an impact right away, and for the long run too, right? So I think Match is going to be like a huge game changer. And that's going to be a big focus, along with what we're doing with Project Pivot and our free trainings and our free webinars and everything else that we do. But it's going to be really cool to help people get those jobs even faster, and then help those companies grow and help those people build their confidence coming out of our program right away. So those are a couple of things to look out for. It's going to be a massive 30 year, 2019, 2020. That's 1 year, 2021, 2022.
So we're entering our fourth year now.
We're entering, it's going to be a massive fourth year. And if you ever want to reach out to us, if you have questions about our free trainings, if you have questions about Project Pivot, if you have questions about our recruiting, or want to partner with us when it comes to recruiting, please reach out to myself, reach out to Marianne. We're both on LinkedIn, and we'll be happy to have that conversation with you. But thanks for being a part of the journey, the 3 years of three skills. Any last words for this final episode of our first season of this podcast?
So first, I would say for anyone who's been thinking of starting something, do it.
Like, yes.
If it fails, you'll learn. If it's successful, you'll learn.
Yes. Like,
don't let the fear of starting something hold you back, because the opportunity of learning and putting yourself out there, like, there's so much growth that happens in that process. 100%. So embrace it. Mm. And for anyone who is maybe just unhappy where they're at, just know that there are people, there are programs designed to help you, and just believe in yourself, believe in what you can do, and just take the jump, I'd say, and try something different. Whether that's something you listen to in one of our podcast episodes, whether it's you joining one of the webinars and you an idea sparks, or if you feel like you need that extra help, just go for it, because you'll only think of, like, why didn't I do this sooner, versus, oh, I can't believe I wasted my time. Like, that will never be the outcome. And just sending you all the good vibes, because transitioning is hard, but you don't have to do it alone. And that's why we're here.
Yeah, for sure. And for everyone that's listening, thinking, okay, I do want to build my dream career, I don't know what to do next, honestly, check out our free masterclasses. Send us a direct message. Just to understand that, like, the resources are there for you, right? There's so much out there, but the resources are there for you. And you don't need all the help in the world. You need probably one or two. I used to have a mentor that said, like, you're only one or two ideas away from the next phase in your life, right? So we hope to spark those ideas in you. Thank you for being a part of our journey and being a part of this first season. We will be back with even more incredible content and more incredible guests. And from myself, Toby, and the incredible Marianne, we will see you very soon. Bye.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Building Your Dream Career. If you got some value out of this, feel free to share it with someone that might need it, or you can leave a 5-star rating on the podcast. Visit the3skills.com for free resources to help you build your dream career. See you next time.